Ohero Braided Line is the only gel-spun fiber line that comes in four colors, including our multicolor braid, which changes every 10 yards for trolling and deep dropping. Ohero Braided Line is not only the thinnest line in the fishing industry, but also ranks as the highest in abrasion resistance, using the highest and latest technology. Ohero Braid will cast further and last longer. It comes in many spool sizes from 150 yards to bulk size. Very importantly, with great prices. You can find Ohero Braided Line at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or online at justforfishing.com.
Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you'd like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com. Or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584.
Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides and capmel.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto, Neil Taylor, and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose as your topic fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
Now.
This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
Here we are, another week of Fish Talk Radio. I am Neil Taylor, and you are not.
And I am not. It's Captain Travis Yackel in the house, man.
That's
definitely
him.
That's him.
I recognized him.
The real guy.
That is definitely Captain Travis. Captain Jason is not here.
He is absent.
He picked record time, and then he didn't show up.
That's right. That's right.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Well, today is, let's see, today's Father's Day, you know?
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day to all the daddios out there, man. I got a little 8 month old at home, and I tell you, it's been pretty crazy, a humbling experience, but this is my first Father's Day, so I'm looking forward to hanging out with her a little bit.
Fun.
But
congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Neil. And but anyway, we want to send out a big happy Father's Day to all the daddios out there, and make sure you guys are enjoying the day. Hope you're waking up, mama's cooking you some breakfast, and getting ready to hit the water. Maybe I know we got some kind of nasty weather coming this weekend, Neil. So
yeah, it's going to be a little rougher than usual, but you could go fishing.
Yeah, yeah,
I think
definitely
you can get a trip in.
Definitely make it happen. So anyway, thanks for tuning in to us, guys. Listening on a Sunday morning, and hope you guys have a good day. We're going to kind of update you on what fishing's been like around Tampa Bay. Neil, kayak fishing, man. I know you've been busy. You got a little sunburn.
Yes.
That's good. So I know you've been on the water. What's shaking your way, brother?
I had some days off. I went over to the 12 Fathom Factory in Orlando for 5 days, and we got out on the water one day, and that's where most of the sun came from.
Gotcha.
My one day in a powerboat cooked me.
Gotcha.
We caught a few fish over there. My trips over here have been excellent. It's like it's not summer at all yet. We had a day where we caught, I told the client at the end of the day, I said, you probably caught 60 fish. And he said, I caught 71.
He counted.
So that was in a four-hour trip. Quite literally, we only did about 3.5 hours of fishing. It was about 15 minutes of paddling on each side. In about 3.5 hours, he caught that many fish. So you're looking at roughly 20 fish an hour, which is, that's a pretty good clip.
That's a great day, and granted, artificial. So
all lures.
Yeah, yeah. Now, when you were talking about as far as travel time, Neil, I know when I run charters and I take calls on trips and explain to folks what our trips are, you know, some people don't know, and the question that always comes up is, how does the time work? And you know, you talked about a 15-20 minute paddle here and there. You know, normally, and I can't say that it's for everybody or everybody does this, but I try to give the fishing time that I sell. In other words, if it's a 4 hour trip, I do my best to try to fish for 4 hours. Sometimes it doesn't work that way when I have doubles and whatnot, but I would imagine that when you're kayak fishing, particularly if you know you don't launch really close to where you're going to fish, how does that really work into your charter time?
It's the same as yours. I'm not a clock watcher.
Right, and I'm not either.
For me, a 4-hour trip on average is 5 hours.
Right.
And a 6-hour trip may be closer to 7 hours. I am not a clock watcher. I don't say trip's over if they're still catching fish.
Right.
We're already there. I don't care if we stay out a little longer. Yeah, it's a 4-hour charter to me. That's how much fishing time there is. So this one just happened to be, he only fished 3.5 hours because the bite was over.
You're catching upwards of 40 fish. I mean,
yeah, he'd hammered them already.
That's an 8-hour day of catching fish.
Yeah,
right
there wasn't much else to do anyway. But, on average, I go over on time and I charge people for what trip they set up.
Right, and that's kind of what I figure. I was curious because I never really thought about it like that on a kayak. You know, there's some spots where, you know, I may pick up and say, look, guys, we got a 30-minute, run to get to where we're going to fish, but we're going to spend, upwards of 3.5 hours fishing there, make a half hour, 45-minute run back. So I can only imagine in a kayak, if you paddle, 20, 30 minutes and then,
That's unusual for me to have someone go that distance.
That distance. I was going to say, that's a pretty good paddle, to paddle that far.
So, Travis, how was your fishing this week?
It's been pretty good. The inshore bite, I've been bouncing back and forth, inshore to inside the bay. I do a lot of bay fishing this time of year once the water temperature increases in the shallow water up on the flats. We had some good numbers of snook this week. Some nice fish. We lost a couple really nice fish, kind of undersized for our gear. We were catching some juvenile snook, and there were some bigger ones in the mix, and we ended up missing a few of them. But snook fishing's been good. We ended up getting a little trout bite. We caught a handful of trout. And then out in the bay is really where, I've had more fun, and I think the fishing's been a little bit better. We've been seeing mangrove snappers, some groupers. A handful of cobia have been showing up. We actually sight fished a cobia yesterday on our charter out in the middle of the bay. We got set up on a weed line that was coming out on the outgoing tide, and I just happened to look back and I saw two cobia pop up on the surface, and we managed to get one a bait, and the other one came to the boat with the fish we had hooked. And I mean, for like 5 minutes we sat there and tried to hook the second fish, but it just didn't happen. So we ended up gaffing the first fish, and had a number of hookups. We caught sharks, we caught stingrays, we hooked a tarpon. Plenty of action out in the middle of the bay, got some mackerel. So that's been kind of entertaining for us. And then early morning bites, been inshore, fishing inshore on the edges of the bars, on the incoming tides. We've done pretty good with that. Like I said, mainly snook, a few redfish here and there, but mainly snook. So.
Well, speaking of cobia, I went by Mira Lure this week, and I spent about an hour there talking with Eric Bochnick, and he just got back from the Dry Tortugas.
Okay.
And I asked him, I said, aren't there a lot of closed zones down there? And he said, there are. And he said, they'll stick you for it if they catch in there. They've got the drones.
Mm.
He said, but I was with the guy that knows all the zones. And he said, there was one particular area we were kind of on the edge of a zone, which made me nervous. Anyway, speaking of cobia, he said, we saw a whale shark. And I said, I've never seen one of those. And he said, neither had I. And he said there was two giant cobia under it, and we caught those two cobia out from
under that
whale shark.
Cobia fishing is really neat. If you've never seen one or even caught one, they're kind of stupid. They're not really they're very, very curious. Let's put it that way. They might not be stupid, but they're very curious, and they're not really boat shy until you hook one or, try to mess with one. But they're relatively, once you see one, you can kind of go after them. And a lot of times, as long as they stay up, you can get a couple shots at them. And they'll eat just about anything as long as you get it in front of them. So it's been really neat. We've got a few on the bottom fishing, and then we've caught a couple up top sight fishing where they'll come up in the chum slick. So it's been really neat. You see a lot of them this time of year, especially coming up on the full moon, which we'll talk about in the tides and weather segment. But we've got some really good tides coming up this week. The tides this week actually weren't bad.
Yeah.
I fished a lot of the afternoon bite outgoing tides, but it's been pretty good, and I think it's going to get better as long as these storms get out of here. I know We record on Wednesday, so tomorrow and Saturday, which would be a day back, but we had some nasty weather coming through, predicted to come through. So hopefully that gets through, the little storm pushes through, and then we got a good week of fishing coming up. So that's what we're hoping for.
Yes, and we are dealing with floating grass.
Yeah.
Corresponding with the rainy season. I was telling Eric, he said, so you hammered them on topwater lures. And I said, yeah, it's this guy the other day who caught 71 fish. I moved him in to do topwater lure a little too late. I wish I put him on a half an hour earlier.
Too much grass on the surface?
Well, no, the grass was fine. It was late enough in the tide, the grass had cleared, but it was getting so late in the day. He hammered them on topwater lure for about 15 minutes, and then it was just too late in the day.
Yeah.
Sun was too high, and I wish I'd brought him over there half an hour earlier, because using topwater lure, you're catching bigger fish.
Yeah, sure, sure. Especially this time of year when you get a lot of the fry bait. I don't know if you've been seeing a lot of the fry bait movement.
Yeah, there's tons of it.
Yeah, so that's always an awesome, especially early morning or even late afternoon, evening bite, you know, on those topwaters. So that's always cool if you can find a good school of bait. Especially on the edges of the bars where I'm finding a lot of the bait. It's a definitely a good place to throw
some
topwater.
The edges of the bars, I'm finding a lot of girls, but I'm not seeing much bait.
I like it. I like it. So anyway, yeah, it's been, fishing's been, what I would say, typical, you know, for me. Hot water, a lot of rain coming in, storms you don't know about, rescheduling trips.
Yeah.
So it's kind of getting in a normal routine.
That's the challenge. I got the whole week booked. I got my Maryland client coming in. He's got four of the next 8 days booked. And I got four other trips. And I added three people to one of John's trips. So there's one day I'm going to have four people out there. So it's going to be a busy week. I'm hoping for a halfway settled weather pattern. But I figure we're going almost no matter what.
Right. Right.
And if we have to wait out some storms here and there, we are not going to miss any of these trips.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man. I mean, you know, I don't mind fishing in the rain. I mean, we've talked about this before, Neil, as far as what it can actually do to the fish and the environment and the water, the area that you're fishing. Particularly after a rain, you get an influx of oxygen. Normally, you get some pretty calm weather after a storm. So if you can get through them, there's definitely some good fishing to be had. You just really got to be careful. You know, if I hear thunder or I see lightning strikes, that's my first, you know, call. I said, look, guys, you know, this is really unsafe. We really need to head in or at least seek shelter. The Skyway Bridge or any other bridges, you don't have to go all the way in if you're out a little bit, but definitely take cover and, you know, be safe out there because it can come in a matter of minutes, especially if you're not prepared for it or not looking for it. You can look behind you and go, holy crap, here comes one, you know,
yeah.
So definitely be aware of that, but don't let it put you in the house on a rainy day. Go get you some rain gear. Tampa Fishing Outfitters got plenty of rain gear. You can get Grundins, you can go next door, they've got all different types of commercial gear. You can go on the retail side there, on the big store side, and they've got tons of rain gear. So this is the time of year to go get you a new rain jacket and stay out there and do some fishing.
Absolutely. And you dress for it. I mean, it's not like wintertime where you have to dress for it to stay warm. That'll really ruin your day if you get cold and wet.
Yeah, yeah.
But to get, you know, rain gear to stay dry, to tell you the truth, I don't bother.
Well, yeah, the kayaking, it's a little different,
honestly,
I would imagine. But
honestly,
Neil, I think, just likes being wet.
I like being wet. And I spend the whole day wet as it is, but
yeah.
If it's gonna rain, that's gonna make me that much wetter, which I'm fine with. But if you want to stay dry, go get some rain gear, which is certainly available.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Well, Travis, we're gonna come up to our first break here. When we get back, we're gonna talk tides and weather. We're gonna talk more about summertime fishing and some tricks to being successful as things get hotter and hotter. And things are changing, and we get into the crux of midsummertime. What are we going to do to remain successful catching fish? What are we going to do when the water gets super hot? So we're going to take that break. When we get back, more with Captain Travis, myself, Neil Taylor. We're going to talk a little bit of CapMel.com, and we're going to talk a little bit about fishing school. which we need to start.
Yeah, we need to gear up on that for sure.
So let's take our break, and when we get back, we'll have more Fish Talk Radio. So we'll be right back after these messages. The Skyway Fishing Piers open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drive up to terrific action at bare minimum expense. No fishing license necessary. Enjoy some great fishing action at the mouth of Tampa Bay. Take advantage of our expert staff, rod rentals, and enjoy some awesome rod bending action from both our north and south piers. We are looking forward to seeing you at the Skyway Piers.
Precision Tackle Manufacturers, the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface quartz with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really, because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Freestyle and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket costs when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
The tides and weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner Paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you. Back, segment two of the show. Really exciting, really exciting.
Woo-hoo!
Tides and Weather, segment two of the show, sponsored by Werner Paddle, one of my greatest sponsors. Werner Paddle makes the best paddles out there. If you are looking for a new paddle, if you don't look at Werner, you need to have your head examined.
Which Neil does as well.
Yes, I do that on the side. Days where the weather's bad, I'll do some cardiology work, but I will also examine your head.
That's right. That's right. So what we got coming up this week for tides, Neil?
Tides,
my favorite ones, man.
Today is Sunday, June the 19th, St. Petersburg, low tide 1.3, 6:59 a.m., high tide 1:21 p.m., 2.5 feet of water. So that's not a huge incoming tide, but it's good moving water. The outgoing tide in the afternoon, 1:21, 2.5, drops to a minus 0.2 at 9:15 p.m. These are those summertime low tides that are around sunset or shortly after that I'll do a lot of evening trips, and I'll just have great trips on these big low tides around sundown. The whole week we go all the way down. Friday there's still 88% moon. Next Saturday's fishing's difficult, but the tides earlier in the week, Sunday the 19th through Thursday the 23rd, you've got 97% moon through the full moon on down to 94% moon. There's some good moving water all week.
Yeah. Yeah, this is some of my favorite time to fish. I like fishing the afternoon. I like fishing outgoing tides. And where I'm fishing, out in the bay, you get a lot of moving water. So it's even nicer. You can really see things change. You can see the grass move. You can see crabs starting to flush. We're seeing them up inside the bay now starting to flush, so that's pretty cool. One of the things, and it actually came from a listener on the show, I got a message about tides, and he was asking me some questions about how to read a tide chart and how to know when you've got a good tide or a bad tide or a strong tide or a weak tide and so on and so forth. And so real quick, without going into a whole lot of detail, a couple pointers. Neil just had it pulled up here on our studio computer, but I use the same as saltwatertides.com. That's probably about the most accurate can be, as far as tides. And the way that it reads is you go to the area in which you're going to fish, whether it's Tampa Bay, Charlotte Harbor, wherever. Once you drill down into Tampa Bay, there's a number of, of different sites or different areas, tide stations is what they equivalate to inside the bay. Typically, I use Port Manatee or Shell Point. Those are the two that we use on the South Shore. And you put in the...
I look at Shell Point.
Yeah, Shell Point. That's always a good baseline. It kind of tells you halfway between the southern part of the bay and the northern part of the South Shore, anyhow. And normally what you do is you put in the starting day that you want to get the tides. And then you put in the number of days after that starting date. And then you basically hit get tides. And what that does is it pulls up a list of data in list form. And what you'll see is you'll see the things that we really look for is the far right column has moon visibility. That's going to tell you the state of your moon. So you have full moon, new moon. 0% is new moon. 100% is full moon. 99 is about normally all you'll ever see on a tide chart. Consider that to be the full moon.
Right.
Aside from that, you'll see your sunrise and your sunset, which is very important as far as, you know, we're concerned, as far as getting out, when we can get out, when we can get bait, things like that, and then how long we can actually fish till. You'll notice that as you get towards summer, that gets later and later. I mean, you're seeing sunsets at, you know, 8:30, almost 9 o'clock at night. So that gives you that time to fish those outgoing tides. But more importantly, and what I told this guy, and forgive me, I can't remember his name, but we ended up having a phone conversation, but he was asking me about how to tell a strong tide. And you look at the time between the high or the low tide and the time between the next peak in the tide, whether it's a low or a high. The shorter that time is and the greater number that it falls to is the strength in the tide. So, in other words, for example, if at 1 o'clock it's at 2 foot and at 8 o'clock it's at 0, okay, that means in 7 hours it dropped 2 feet of water out. You'll see on other tides, we get into quarter moon tides, in a 4 or 5 or 6 hour span, it'll only move a half a foot or, say, a foot. So that's a relatively weaker tide. In correlation to this week's tides, if you go check them out, what you're going to see is you're going to see in the morning it moves in a little bit and then falls just a touch, and then it really dumps out after that afternoon incoming tide. So that big gap, or what they call a hill tide, is really when you get the most water moving and typically when you're going to find some of the best fishing. So not to confuse anybody, and I'm sure a lot of people do know how to read a tide chart, but hopefully that maybe will help you a little bit as far as to compare, I guess is where I'm going. Look at a number of tides. Look at a week of tides and compare from Monday to Sunday, and you'll see how the tides and the water changes in correlation to the moon, as in moon phase. So just wanted to kind of follow up on that and kind of bring that to light to everybody, because I ended up talking to a really nice gentleman about it, and hopefully I helped him out and helped him to pick better times. He was a retired guy looking for, you know, he didn't want to spend 8 hours on the water, and he was hoping to kind of dial in whatever day he picks what may be the better time to go. And so that's kind of what that was about. So
good description, Travis. And, you know, if you learn what your numbers mean, so, you know, what Travis is saying with what it shows on saltwatertides.com gives the date, it gives the highs, the lows, it gives the times of the highs and lows. And then you look at the numbers, it'll say height and feet. So for certain areas, Dunedin, a really high tide is 3.3.
Right, right.
They'll get those tides that move that far. Inside the bay, a high tide's about 2.5 for a high number reading. Zero is a mean low tide.
That's right.
You'll have some low tides that are a 0.5, and you'll have some low tides that are a minus 0.3. Those are the negative low tides. Those are the biggest low tides. So you see what the time is in between high tide and low tide, and if there's a lot of water movement and it's not a super long period of time, that's a fast-moving tide.
Correct.
Because you'll have, at the quarter moon phases, you may have it where the tide moves 2 feet, but it takes 16 hours to do it.
That's right.
And that's a slow-moving tide. So know what the numbers mean, and the more rapid-moving water you have, the better.
Yeah, and the other thing, just to kind of add to it, was I pointed him to reading a graph and saying, okay, look at the numbers, and then look at a graph. A
I tell
graph.
People to graph it.
You know, and yeah. if you graph it, it sometimes it helps people with a visual representation of what's happening. The key to a graph in my mind is make sure you know what your scale is on your axes, because sometimes it'll look like you've got a really strong tide, but it's actually stretched out over 10 hours.
Yeah.
Or it's a flat line, but it looks and you go, oh wow, that looks like a good tide, but really make sure you correlate your time versus your height. Height is normally on your what you consider your y-axis, going up and down.
Right.
And time is normally on your x-axis, which is going horizontally. So
correct.
make sure you really correlate that when you're reading the graph. Maybe try reading the graph, getting that figured out, and then you can roll over to the numbers and really correlate to the area that you're fishing. And that's a good point, Neil. We talk about a 2.5 or a 1.5 or whatever. Go to Jacksonville, where it's 6 foot.
Yeah.
You know, and you go, oh, we had a 2.5. Well, you probably couldn't get out of the marina. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all relative to the area in which you're fishing. And we kind of memorize what our numbers are around the bay to dictate or to make a good decision on what the tide's going to do. So as you go and you read tide charts, you'll get better at it, and you'll start to memorize the numbers. And what you'll find is every year you'll get better and better because the patterns are the same.
Right.
Every year it does the same thing in certain times of the year.
You can bet on it. Big low tides in the wintertime
yep.
are at sunrise.
Yep.
Big low tides in the summertime are at sunset.
Yep.
And you never see that, really.
And it's I'm kind of getting a brain fart here on my fishing wisdom, but you got neap tides, and you've got, what's the other one? You've got neap and forgive me, I need the fishing dictionary. But anyway, there's actually a science name for it. In the summertime, you get really high tides. In the wintertime, you get really low tides. And that's just how it plays out. And I think they're neap and hep. Neap and hep tides.
Ebb.
Neap and ebb tides. I never said we were that smart. but we're pretty good fishermen, so... Anyhow, just kind of rambling on about the tides, but it's like one of the most important things in saltwater fishing if you want to be successful.
Especially so, around here. There's other areas of Florida the tides mean absolutely nothing.
Yeah, yeah. And I get a lot of lake guys. I get a lot of guys from up north. And so I do get a lot of, I explain this a lot, and it's kind of, some people get it, some people don't. But if you're going to be successful, especially in Tampa Bay, like Neil said, you really got to learn the tides and understand how they work. So. Hopefully we explained that a little bit better. You can always hit us up on Facebook, Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio page. You can look us up there if you've got any questions. CaptainMel.com's got a ton of information on it. I'm sure in the 10 bazillion articles, there's one about tides and probably saloons and everything
else. There's probably five or more articles.
So definitely tons of stuff to read there and kind of grow your knowledge there. But... anyway, that's kind of all I got, Neil. I know we're probably running out of time on this one, but tip of the week coming up next, I think. Or no, we got
Come on, man,
coming up next.
Yeah. So we're going to go to break number two. We're halfway through the show. When we get back, we'll do the Come On Man segment, and we'll keep talking more Fish Talk Radio here with Captain Travis and myself, Neil. So we'll be right back after these messages. I'm gonna miss her. Right now I'm on this lake shore, sitting in the sun, I'm sure it'll hit me. When I walk through that door tonight, yeah, I'm gonna miss her. All the day I've got a fire. Design.
designed by professional guides with four characteristics that all high-end fishing rods have: durability, sensitivity, stability, and value. Built to use under all fishing conditions that every angler faces, there is no rod that covers more of your fishing needs. Ohiro series rods include gold, platinum, signature, specialty kayak, and tournament rods. A rod for every angler. Whether you're a recreational angler, guide, or tournament professional, they have a rod that will be as versatile as your fishing condition. Find Ohiro rods at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or www.justforfishing.com.
This is the Dan Patrick Show.
I just like to say that y'all rock, man.
Durant was trying to play hero ball, and it cost him. It cost him. They should be in the NBA Finals. I do believe that Oklahoma City is a better team than Golden State. Depth-wise, size, you know, they do have a lot of talent on that team. But Golden State is great because that's what champions do. You win when you're not supposed to.
Dan Patrick.
Weekday mornings, 9 to noon on Sports Talk 1040, The Team.
The Come On Man segment brought to you by Alify Marine, located at 6128 Lewis Ave in Gibsonton, Florida. You can reach them at 813-671-2628.
And we're back. Segment 3 of the show. Captain Travis, do you have a Come On Man?
You know, my Come On Man would be real short. Mr. Weatherman? Come on, man. I mean, it's just been, it's for me, like, and it's so funny because, and I won't take a lot of time because it's not a real come on, man, but ever since Jason left and went over to St. Pete tarpon fishing, you know, there was a running joke on the dock that he was Captain Cancel because he had like 3 in a row. And I made so much fun of him. Well, he left and it was like he just moved his little mojo right over to my dock. Because it's just been one of those last couple weeks where the weather, for whatever reason, has just not been cooperating with me and my schedule. But other than that, you know, the fishing's been good, so I can't complain. But weatherman, come on, man.
Yeah. I had, I was in Orlando, and you had that mass shooting.
Yeah.
And then there was this girl shot, this girl that's on this television show. This the whole time I was there.
Oof.
And then little kid gets dragged into a lake by an alligator. So it was like, I got to get out of
this. You got to get out of Orlando.
I've got bad mojo for these people.
Mm. You probably hit a nail on the head on a good come on man there. Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
You got some bad people in the world.
I mean, that's just, it's sad to even talk about it. And I know all of our listeners, I'm sure, have heard about what happened in Orlando. Not only one tragedy, not two tragedies, but 3,
yeah.
In a matter of, what, a week? So definitely, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to those folks, and hope that things get resolved and things get better, not only in Orlando, but in our country. We hope we can reunite, and, you know, I mean, there's so many good things to talk about, you know, that it sucks, quite frankly, to have to bring this stuff up and even talk about it and even flip on the news at night and hear this stuff. You know, we want to hear about fishing stories.
Yeah, it's tough. It's
and
a dreadful
big
time
sharks
for a lot of
on
people.
That they somebody saw on the edge of the coast or something cool, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just a bummer. You know, I don't even know what to say about it, but.
Yeah, I was up. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I was flipping around through the TV and this local news station came up. And it was the first news crew on the scene.
Mm.
And they were like, police say there's a bunch of people dead in there. I was like, ooh.
Not good.
This doesn't sound good.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
And I would say all told, with only 49 people dead, it's fortunate there aren't more because that's what they originally reported. I figured some of the people that are in the hospital, some of them are going to die.
Exactly.
And apparently all those people are still battling because they did not up that total.
And I tell you, hats off to the people that came out and gave blood and did all the other, you know, things that they should have to help those folks. Because I'm sure a lot of the contributions and things that the community had kind of pulled together and done, I'm sure has helped a lot of those folks. I know that I had watched one news report where they had said that, which was something I never really thought about, Neil, and not to get off the track of fishing, but just to show, you know, as who we are and how we can reunite, they have a plan, like a mass casualty plan.
Yeah.
That when, you know, how do you call in and go, hey, we got 50 people coming in that need immediate, you know, help? And so I guess they pulled surgeons and doctors from all over the place.
I'm sure they pulled them from Tampa.
I bet some
medical personnel from Tampa.
100% had to have been. You know,
there was no way they could care for that many people in one hospital.
No, and, you know, thankfully we've got, you know, Florida, that's the one thing, you know, Florida's got some great, great medical facilities. You know, I was born at Tampa General. My daughter was born at Tampa General. That's a great hospital. And you don't really hear of a lot of, you know, other than Kevorkian or whatever it was back in the day. But, you know, so hats off to those folks out there taking care of us. It's nice to see that we're not seeing, you know, people fall off the wagon. You know, hopefully everybody recovers and we can recover, get back to normal. So
I came back over and I went right back to fishing and it's been good. So as cooked as I am at the end of the day, I sure am happy to have good results and people are having a good time out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, fishing has been good. What else is going on, Neil? I mean, let's talk a little bit about hot water fishing. I think that's something that everybody's dealing with when they're on the water right now. What are some of the things you look for? What are some of those temperature thresholds that you look for? And what do you do outside of the hot water?
My 6 to 10 rule is I go fishing from 6 to 10 in the morning or 6 to 10 at night. And that's usually for the best opportunities in the dead of summer. It can be 6 to 10, and you can hit just what's a terrible bite, and the fish are unhappy. If we have that happen, we'll load it up, and we'll go to the nearest bridge. And you hit deep water fishing. The pompano are not yet in the bridges yet, but there are pompano in the bay. And the black drum are easy. We caught, I think it was, we ended up catching 7 of them last week, and 7 of them in 2 trips.
Nice.
And they averaged about 60 pounds apiece.
Wow.
So they're big ones.
Big boys.
So that's an adjustment you make. You know, if it's not on the flats and you want to go catch fish that day, shift deep and go to a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Shift deep and go out somewhere where there's a lot of bait fish and you can catch mackerel or jacks or ladyfish. But, it's a temperature, a water temperature that's rising rapidly. And when it gets hot, 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 we are going to have some tough fishing conditions, and you're not sure when they're going to be.
Gotcha.
You're just going to hit tough fishing, and you could hang it up and go home, or you could go deep and go try and catch something in 15 feet or more water.
Yeah, and that's kind of I'd say I'm right there with you, even on live bait, you know. We will throw some cut bait. I get some clients that really insist on inshore fishing, which is fine. If you can grind through it and you know, kind of put your time in, there's plenty of good inshore fishing to be had. It's just not going to be like you saw in spring. And so what ends up happening is everybody gets trained in spring, and they go, oh, man, we can go out and catch 50 fish, no problem, no matter if it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Sometimes it's not that case this time of year. And so as long as you're prepared for it and you're kind of in for the long haul, you can put a really good day together inshore. Chances are I'll use a lot of live bait, fresh bait in the morning and the late evening afternoon bite. And then during the day I'll go to cut bait. We'll cut bait mullet, ladyfish, which that's fun too. Probably something you don't get to do or don't do, but a lot of my, so especially younger clients, kids, stuff like that, we'll go out and we'll do some mackerel and ladyfish in the morning. And then we'll take those ladyfish inshore and cut bait, you know, for half a day or so. And normally you can produce pretty good results inshore with some cut bait. So that's kind of how we roll. If we're going to do middle of the bay deep water fishing, then normally I'll use live big thread fins or cut thread fins or cut mullet, sometimes even some crab. But what I was going to ask you, Neil, gulp. Is that something that you would use, either cut bait or dead sticking, what we call dead sticking, with artificial bait? Is that something that you maybe fall back to every now and again, or is that something that you normally don't get
into?
I can
tell you this. It is a fact. I have never caught a fish on a gulp product.
Okay. Okay.
I used it one time, and I had fish picking it up and dropping it, but I pulled it away from them, and I went back to using my lures because I wanted to be able to say I've never caught a fish on it.
Okay.
Instead of using gulp, what I would do, I would pull out the tiny hooks wherever they are. I don't even know where they are. I would catch pinfish, and I would take my scissors, and I would cut pinfish in half.
Cut pinfish, okay.
And I would throw cut pinfish out there. That achieves the same thing that gulp does.
Sure, sure.
In my opinion.
I'm with you. And it was...
Fresh-caught cut pinfish, to me, is...
Awesome.
The best cut bait you can use. The double-sided skin, you know. You use a chunk of ladyfish. Travis will tell you this. If there's other pinfish
it's game over.
You're going to be fishing with skin.
Yeah, they will. I like to brine and ice and salt my baits before I use them, so that helps a little bit, kind of toughens them up a little bit, but they will definitely get ate by pinfish, especially if you're using cut crab. But where I was going with that was, maybe 5-6 years ago is when the whole scent thing came out, you know, Procure. I mean, not necessarily came out, but got a little bit more, you know, big, especially in the tournament fishing world where all you can use
now,
is artificial.
Now, Procure I don't use either, but I told people, and this works successfully for them, I tell them to use that product successfully. You take your soft plastic baits and the bag that you buy it in. Squirt it in there, and then you throw it on your dashboard and leave it on your dashboard for at least 2 full days.
Cook it in there?
Let it cook into that plastic. Because if you're squirting it on a bait the day you're using it, it lasts a little while and then it's gone.
Yeah.
But you actually treat it that way and you're cooking it into those baits, it'll retain some of the scent longer. And then if you really want to be fishing with scent, you're doing it more efficiently.
That's good info. I know we have a tournament jar, what we call a tournament jar, and we just add to it. It's basically a big, you know, Tupperware jar that we've, over the last probably, 8 years or so, just dumped soft plastics in it.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want to open the lid, but in certain areas where we get sluggish fish, especially if we're sight fishing and we're fishing really slow, it's something that we'll grab back on and put a soft plastic on. And it kind of achieves the same thing where it's been sitting in there just basically soaking for, golly, we've had the jar for probably, like I said, 8 years. And we just keep adding juice to it and all kinds of stuff. And it's just our stink bait jar.
Yeah.
And we fall back on it every now and again. So good info there from Neil. Remember never to bring up gulp around Neil again. good stuff and good fishing, man.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take our last break here, Travis, when we get back. One more segment of Fish Talk Radio, and we could talk about whatever. It's the captain's tip of the week, but we can cover whatever. So we're going to take our last break. When we get back, we're going to finish up another great show with Captain Travis Yackel. We'll be right back.
Catch more fish? Try Ohiro's 100% fluorocarbon leader. It's by far the most invisible fluorocarbon on the market today, with superior abrasion resistance to meet any rugged saltwater conditions. Ohiro fluorocarbon leader is easy to tie and comes in all strengths to fit every angler's needs. Used by many tournament anglers and charter boat captains, Ohiro fluorocarbon leader should be in your tackle box.
See them at www.justforfishing.com, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or any of your major tackle shops.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface quartz with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Fredo. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. So call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right, General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. How much can you save? How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $35,000? So don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-95-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-95-STEEL. That's 866-95-STEEL. Don't spend thousands more than you should. Call 866-957-8335.
I leave the radio on constantly.
Sports Talk 1040 The Team.
We have you covered all week long.
Hi, I'm Dan Patrick. Glad to be back in Tampa Bay. Weekdays, 9 a.m.
Sports Talk 1040 The Team in Tampa Bay. Powered by NBC Sports.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1040 The Team, the home of Jim Rome. Weekdays from noon till 3.
Want to fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show? All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This segment brought to you by PowerPole Shallow Water Anchors. Swift, silent, and secure. For more information, go to PowerPole.com.
The final segment of the show.
Wrapping
it up for another week here on Sports Talk 1040, The Team. This is Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show, and we enjoy bringing the show to you. Our title sponsor, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, their main store on Osborne in Tampa. If you live in Tampa and you haven't been there, go. They have a store in St. Petersburg, which is their newest store, and they took over the old Fisherman's World a few years ago, which is in Holiday, and they built that up nicely. That's a nice store for those of our listeners who live in northern Pinellas County. So go support the store that supports our show, and our other sponsors do a great job. So make sure you use their products if you're in need of anything along those lines.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, I just came from Tampa Fishing Outfitters, their central location, which is up by the, it's right there for anybody that hasn't been there. Osborne is really, really close to, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers football stadium. Mm-hmm. Right up Del Mabry, you're heading north on Del Mabry. I think it's two or three streets past, the stadium. And so if you haven't been up there, check those guys out. I went up and, had to pick up a few things, had to get a couple fillet knives, pick up some hooks, kind of stock up on some gear. So,
right.
And they're talking to Jeremy, and they always take care of us up there. So, sure. Get in there and support them. The other one that I wanted to mention, and it's really kind of a tip of the week, too, is Alfi Marine. They've been taking care of my boat for a long time, even since they were over on actually Alfi River over in Gibsonton. But they're a great local Yamaha, Mercury, service center, dealer, awesome guys over there, good old boys. As for Jimmy Beagle, as for Megan, as for Jesse. Jesse is probably one of the best mechanics I know around. He's helped me a number of times, not only on the current boat that I run, but on all my other previous boats. And really good guys, great pricing. One of the things you look for when you look for a marine mechanic is honesty. There's so many guys out there that will, you know, sell you a shoestring for the price of a dadgum Camaro, you know. And these guys won't. They're really, really honest guys. They'll take care of you, get you in as fast as they can. But this is the time of year when a lot of people knock the dust off the old boat out in the barn and, you know, put some gas in or change the oil, and next thing you know, you're out there at the boat ramp. Don't be the guy at the boat ramp that spends 20 minutes getting it started. Load your whole family in there and then wave me down when I pick up my clients for a charter. If you're in trouble and you got an emergency, I'll be there to help you. But on your own stupidity, where you didn't service your equipment and you're 45 yards away from the boat ramp, you're on your own. Take it down to Alify Marine. Get them to go through it. Make sure it's safe to be on the water. And you'll thank yourself later. So will your family. When your two kids are sitting out there and they want to go fishing and you're stuck on the flat with your trolling motor, you'll be wishing you took it to Alify Marine. So look those guys up. Get down there and get your stuff in shape. So what kind of tips you got this week, Neil? It's summertime. It's hot.
Yeah, I would say my tip of the week, you know, you do it right. If you're doing deep water jigging, I use the Silly Willy, and I use my custom teaser, which I sold about 400 of them last week.
Ooh.
If anyone needs them, I still have about 5,000 of them. You want that lure in contact with the bottom. Effectively fishing that lure, if it's not in contact with the bottom, you might catch ladyfish or mackerel, but you won't catch pompano, you won't catch black drum. Fishing lures, hot water situations, the fish may be aggressive and you're working lures how you normally are and you're catching fish and then all of a sudden you're not catching fish. You need to learn to go painfully slow. Slow everything down even more than you would want to in order to keep getting strikes.
Mm-hmm.
To be successful in hot water fishing, you may want to go to a lighter jig head, but whatever you do, use a lure that you can creep along and have them go and pick it up when it's barely moving. That's the only way to catch fish when these fish are miserable.
Now, when we say deep water, Neil, or when you say deep water, what... Give the listeners an idea, because it can range. When you say deep water on a flat, that's 4 feet, 5 feet. When you say deep water in Tampa Bay, that's 45 feet out in the shipping channel.
Deep
water,
idea. Yeah, my trips, I'm talking about deep water. Non-flat scenario, it's anywhere from 9 feet to 15 feet deep.
Okay.
It's very rare for me to be in areas that are deeper than that. If that's a situation, I'm in water that's much deeper than 15 feet, then I paddled way out to the middle of one of the center Tampa Bay bridges.
Right.
But even then, it's not that much more than 15 feet deep.
Yeah.
So that's not what most people would consider deep water. But for me, who's usually fishing in 2 feet of water, I call it deep water.
Yeah. And I would, relatively, that's where I would say the same. You know what? We do a little different stuff where for me to run out into the middle of the bay is not that big of a deal. And some of those areas are, you know, 40 feet plus. There's a couple little drop-offs where you can get down to like 43, 45 feet. Now, this time of year, I like fishing some of the rock piles. The mangrove snapper are starting to show up, getting some good schools of mangrove snapper showing up on some of the interior
good.
Rock piles inside the bay.
It's time for them.
As well as the gag groupers. We actually went and checked some numbers the other day. Got some good bottom, got some good lights on the machine. Caught a few, but didn't really get into them real good. But I'm okay with that. Plenty of life around some of the areas that we checked, and so that was good for me for right now. I know it'll increase. And I know also that this full moon coming up should really change some things inside the bay. As far as my logs are concerned, we really didn't start hammering some fish in some of the areas we were fishing till July. So I'm hoping that this moon progresses and pushes that, what I would consider a frenzy to kind of happen. And what I see is, and you're probably seeing it too, but you're seeing the threadfin schools start to really show up in there every week, and actually every day they're starting to get more and more and more. 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was 3 or 4 places where they were kind of centralized. You saw giant schools of threadfins. Now what you're starting to see is you're starting to see little smaller pods, and they're stretching out over larger areas. Some of the tarpon, some of the cobia, some of the mackerel, and even the kingfish, smaller kingfish that get inside the bay, they tend to focus on those outer threadfin schools, and that's where I like to fish them. A lot of the times I'll do a lot of drift fishing, especially if I'll see activity. A lot of people don't know. Like, I'll just run down, you know, say halfway between the Cockroach Bay Flat and the shipping channel.
Right.
And I'll just run down the middle of that. And a lot of times you'll see rain showering, rain, or, you know, bait jumping out of the water going crazy. It doesn't just do that on its own. It doesn't just, And I'll get on the top and it'll flutter, or it'll dimple, what you call dimple on the surface. But it won't actively jump out of the water and what we call shower unless something underneath it is trying to get to it, a predatory fish. And so I'm starting to see that now. Up until, you know, last week, you'd see the bait, but you wouldn't see anything, you know, going after it. Now we're starting to see where the bait's getting attacked. And so with that comes kind of a feeding frenzy. The fry bait will start to actually move off a little bit, and we'll start to see it in some of the main channels. When that happens, the tarpon in my areas really pick up. You start to see tarpon blasting baits jumping out of the water, and it can be a really epic event if you've never seen it take place. So that's what I'm gearing up for. I had another listener actually message me on Facebook, and he was kind of curious about tarpon fishing inside the bay and was asking me a little bit more information about just some areas to look and target and kind of what to look for. And basically what I told him, and I'll use it as my tip of the week, is get out in the bay and idle around. Don't run. Don't, you know, do 30, 40 mile an hour. Just idle around. Go to an area, Port Manatee Reef, Bahia Beach Reef. There's even some numbers, some rock piles out in front of Joe's Island. But what you can do is you can idle around on a strong tide, look for the grass. You know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but you're going to see basically weed lines. I mean, there are fully formed weed lines that'll push out of Tampa Bay. And what I like to do is I like to idle around those weed lines, idle around those strong current areas, and try to see what's moving around in our bay. It's going to be in those areas. You're going to see the bait. You're going to see the weed lines. You're going to see grass. You're going to see triple tails. We've seen a couple triple tails. We didn't actually catch any, but we did see some triple tail under some of the weed mat. But that would be my tip of the week, is this is a good time of the year. You get out, you idle around, maybe throw out some stretch 25s and troll some grouper plugs down the channel. That's another good way to kind of scout if you're looking for tarpon. You'll see tarpon rolling. You'll see tarpon exploding on baits. And then a lot of times what I'll do is I'll mark those areas where I see the activity, and then I'll come back and try to dial in the fishing, whether it's drift fishing with crabs or live baits, or whether it's setting up and chumming either mullet, cut bait, cut ladyfish, or even threadfin. So that's kind of my tip of the week, is get out there, idle around. There's so much going on inside the bay right now. With all the bait and the warm water, a lot of the predatory fish will move off and actually get out in the bay and, you know, hunt down some of these big bait fish schools. So that's something that we zone in on, and I'll be really putting a lot of effort towards fishing inside the bay the next month. So get out there, look around. There's some really neat stuff to see. We've been seeing a lot of big sea turtles, too.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
The turtle rules are working. I've seen more turtles last year than I pretty much have combined the last 20 years.
Yeah, I've got there's a certain area that we're fishing right now where a lot of water moves through. And that's one of the things I had an old offshore guy tell me. He goes, man, when you start seeing them turtles pop up, you're in the right spot. And they move with the tide and the high tide flow areas. So if you're seeing, you know, loggerheads pop up, you're a good fishing area.
Right.
Get out there, check it out. If anything, you get a good suntan. Hopefully not get wet. And maybe catch a few fish.
Absolutely. So, we're winding it down for another week, so Travis, give your phone number so people can get a hold of you.
Absolutely. You can catch up with me a bunch of different ways, but probably the best way is to give me a call on my cell phone. That's 813-830-3474. Again, that's 813-830-3474. And if you want to memorize it, it's just 830-FISH. Spent a lot of time at AT&T for that.
Excellent.
But you can shoot me a text message, give me a phone call. Or you can check out the website. It's www.fishbyinstinct.com. Or you can catch up with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. Look up Instinct Fishing Co. or Captain Travis and shoot me a request, and we'll stay connected.
Perfect. My business, Strike 3 Kayak Fishing, which is also the website. My phone number, 692-NEIL, 727 area.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was dating the Sprint director. But that's going to wrap it up for another week. We thank you all for tuning in week after week. We will enjoy being back here to do another show for you next week. Happy fishing to you, and stay cool and hydrated out there.
It rains.